The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
The scripture readings for today are Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, and Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 11. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we wear? What shall we drink? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mike, and I am a deacon here at Coram Deo Church, and I typically am behind a mic or have an instrument in my hand, but this morning I get to preach from God's Word. The specific part of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And I must say just out front, I love bread. I love the carbs. I love the gluten. Whatever the gluten is, I enjoy it thoroughly. I'm not anti-gluten free. Some of you need it, and that's okay. But if I was to pick a team, I would be on team gluten. Okay? But I'm not going to let that, I'm not going to let my opinion and my preferences get in the way of God's word this morning. I would not want a anti-gluteny mutiny on my hands. But I digress already. Let's talk about give us this day our daily bread. Bread was a staple in the Mesopotamian diet in Jesus' day. But it was not full of preservatives. They did not have refrigerators. When you would make food that day, you had to eat it that day. And here we are in 2018. We have all of the ways at which we can buy food and preserve it. I remember when Jenny and I, my wife Jenny, brought home our deep freezer. We felt like we had graduated from young adulthood into like middle class adult living or something. We had finally made it. We were not able just to have a loaf of bread on the counter, but we were able to have three or more loaves in the freezer along with all the frozen meals that we had prepared to consume later. And yet, we ask ourselves the question today, why do we need to pray, give us this day our daily bread? Isn't this just an outdated, unnecessary request? Most of us not only have our daily bread figured out, but we have our weekly and monthly and even yearly bread figured out. Savings accounts, 401ks, insurance policies. And that's exactly what the Lord's Prayer does. It takes our world and turns it upside down. We have been taught that the good life is found in independence, but actually the good life is found in dependence. So this morning, I want us to explore together three things: the gift of dependence, the dailiness of dependence, and the freedom of dependence. So to start us out, let's talk about the gift of dependence. I want to convince you this morning that dependence is a gift, not a burden. And that's hard for us to think about because when we tend to think that being dependent is weak. Being dependent makes me vulnerable. When I am dependent, I am a burden. We rarely want to be dependent on others. We want to be independent, self-sufficient, self-reliant. But listen, the Bible says that your need is not a burden. You are not a burden. You actually need someone outside of yourself to depend on. In fact, if you aren't willing to depend on someone outside of yourself, then you can't be saved. The only way you can be saved from your sins is by acknowledging that you need a Savior, and that Savior is not yourself. It's not your religious deeds. It's not your good living. You must be dependent on, you must give yourself freely to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're beginning to see already why dependence is a gift. Independence leads to separation from God, but dependence leads us to reconciliation with God. What a wonderful thing it is to be dependent. In fact, in Matthew 18, Jesus tells us that to enter into the kingdom of God, we must become like children. Children are always dependent on their parents, aren't they? Those of us that have been around young children, whether it's in Cornbrae Kids or whether they're our own kids or we've babysat children, we know that they always need something. Amen. Parents, once you and your spouse have finally had the kids lay down and you have your movie or Netflix going or whatever and you're sitting snuggled on the couch, all of a sudden, a drought breaks out, and the kids are dying of thirst, and they need water now. Or the owies they got 12 hours later are all of a sudden festering war wounds, and they need to be tended to now. Or how about after a meal? What's the one thing kids typically ask for after a meal? Can I have a snack? I'm hungry. Just ate a meal. Children are in a constant state of neediness. And yes, we want them to become responsible. We want them to take initiative and have a strong work ethic. We desire that our children mature and grow and get a job and by God's grace, move out of the house. But we must remember that there is not a biblical or theological category for an adult of God. In God's kingdom, you are sons and you are daughters. You are children of God. You do not grow independent of God. Rather, you grow into deeper communion and dependence on Him. Dependence is a gift. Now, I don't want you to understand me. Let me clarify. Depending on God does not absolve us from a responsibility to work hard, to make wise decisions, to even plan for the future. Dallas Willard says it like this: "It is quite all right to have things now that we intend to use tomorrow and to work on, or even pray in a sensible way for them. What hinders or shuts down kingdom living is not the having of such provisions, but rather the trusting in them for future security. We have no real security for the future in them, but only in the God who is present with us each day. A while ago, I heard about how the Omaha Public Schools had developed this program called Summer Lunch, Free Summer Lunch. And at first, I was a little concerned because I couldn't figure out why the city of Omaha and the school district wanted to use my tax dollars to provide free food for people just to come and eat when they could probably just eat at home. My concern was even more heightened when Jenny told me, hey, we're going to go to the school and eat some lunch with some friends from school. I said, Jenny, we have food in our house. We don't need to depend on the school district for that. I've put food on our table. And Jenny gently reminded me, as she always does, she said something to the extent of, this program was designed because there are hundreds and hundreds of school-age kids in our city. The only meal they have is when they're at school. And when they're not in school at summer, they typically don't have a meal provided to them. I was immediately humbled and convicted to the point where I was like, hey, Jen, I'll take the kids to free lunch. I'll take the kids. So in an act of repentance, we ate a meal that we did not deserve. I experienced the cafeteria workers joyfully giving out food to children. I experienced eating the food with other children and families. I was able to inhabit more fully, give us this day our daily bread. Listen to this provocative insight from St. Basil the Great. The bread that is spoiling in your house belongs to the hungry. The shoes that are mildewing under your bed belong to those who have none. The clothes stored away in your trunk belong to those who are naked. The money that depreciates in your treasury belongs to the poor. Dependence, you see, is a gift. You may not be able to absolve all of Omaha's poor with your resources, but imagine what we could do as a church if we pulled our bread and our resources together and we trust the Lord Jesus Christ to multiply our efforts. Imagine how that would change our city. Imagine what that would do to your own heart. I know for a fact that some of you in this church have actually shared your need with others in this community, in your gospel communities. Some of you have actually used your resources and your funds to be answers of prayer to other people's needs. I have a few stories I want to share with you this morning. The first one is there's this young family in our church. The husband is working two jobs. The wife is working a part-time job outside of the home, as well as full-time in the home with two children, doing what they can to make ends meet. They're also hosting a gospel community in their home. And so when the water heater broke in the middle of February, the gospel community caught wind of that and pooled their funds together and were able to help float the bill for that water heater. Another family, another growing family in our church, over last fall into this year, about a six-month period, the AC unit went out, the heat for the furnace went out, and there was baby number three on the way. To add to the stress in that period, the husband found out his job was in jeopardy, and oh, there's a last-minute repair on the van, $1,800 worth. They had some money saved. They were able to pay out of pocket for some of the repairs, but in their need, they asked their gospel community to pray for them. The GC did pray, and without the family knowing, gathered resources and funds to take care of the repairs. Some of the repairs were done with the very hands of those in the community. Everything was taken care of. The day that the van was returned home, the husband gets a call with a job offer and a pay raise. Amen. Here's what the wife told me. She said, We knew God didn't owe us anything. We never asked our community for anything but prayer. But both the community and God provided for us abundantly. God answers us when we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. But we don't just pray this a few times a year when things get bad. Dependence is a daily reality. And this brings us to the dailiness of dependence. How would your life look different if you went into each day praying, Heavenly Father, give me today what I need for today? Listen to these convicting words from Rabbi Sandy Eisenberg Sasso. Sometimes we are so stuck in a past that we cannot change, or so afraid of a future over which we have limited control, that we don't really appreciate the present, the very moment before us. We worry about what happened or what will happen, and we forget about what is happening. We squander the one thing we have for certain, now. How true is that in our lives? If you stop and think, isn't it true that most of our anxieties and concerns have to do either with the past or the future? And when we live in the past or the future, we miss out on the present. So this petition, give us this day our daily bread, anchors us in this day. It helps us be present in the right now of our actual lives. God cares about your days. He cares about this day. So bringing your day before the Lord is a way of living coram Deo, in the presence of God. Maybe you like starting your day by making a list. Do you know what? God cares about what you get done in a day. You could pray, Heavenly Father, help me prioritize what I need to get done today. Give me the grace and mercy when I fail in completing my tasks. Maybe you need to have a direct conversation with your boss or with somebody you supervise. You have a tendency to avoid confrontation and conflict. You could pray, Father in heaven, I am fearful this morning. Give me the words and the courage I need to enter into this conversation. Maybe you're meeting somebody in your gospel community. They're reliant on you for friendship and spiritual guidance, yet you feel ill-equipped to lead them. You could pray, Gracious Father, I feel inadequate when I'm leading others. Holy Spirit, give me the words to say. Help me to point people to Jesus with my presence. What would change in you if you entered each day like this? How would that change your ability to be present in the moment? If we look further down in Matthew chapter 6, further down from the Lord's Prayer, verse 25, we see that Jesus is telling us that this dailiness of dependence is woven into the fabric of his creation. You have a Bible, turn there with me. If not, it'll be on the screen. Jesus says, verse 25, Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Yes, we need to budget for groceries. We might even need to implement Dave Ramsey's envelope system. But we have to remember, it is not you or Dave Ramsey that puts the food on the table. Child of God, do not be anxious. Your heavenly Father knows what you need, and he values you and will give you everything you need today. Verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? We do need to eat healthier. We need to support local farms, and we need to make wiser food choices. But getting some McDonald's every once in a while never killed anybody. kind of say that sarcastically. The point is that when we are anxious about those things, it actually does not help our health. It does not add a single hour to our life. Jesus continues in verse 28. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You may need to find a different job. You may need to spend some of your money on a reliable vehicle. And it's okay that for a season your family has to shop at the thrift store or if you have to go buy a nice outfit. But it is not you who puts the clothes in the closet. The Creator God, who clothes all of nature in its beauty, will clothe you even more beautiful than the prettiest of fields or the lushest of forests. Jesus continues, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Heavenly Father, give me today what I need for today. What about our immaterial needs, the things that we can't see or touch? You may not wake up overwhelmed in the morning with finances and what food you're going to put on the table, but do you wake up aware of your need for love, for those that are hard to love? What about joy? I need joy. I know I depend on God every single moment of the day for joy. What about peace, patience, kindness, self-control? We need the Lord's help in these things. That's why Galatians 5 calls them the fruit of the Spirit. We need him every single second of every single day. Jenny and I, we try to start each morning with a cup of coffee together. Some days it happens, some days it doesn't. But in our kitchen, we have a shelf for all of our coffee supplies. And on that shelf next to all those things is a framed prayer that we're kind of forced to look at every morning while we're waiting for the French press to do its thing. It's called A Liturgy for the Ritual of Morning Coffee. And I want to share it with you this morning. Meet me, O Christ, in the stillness of morning. Move me, O Spirit, to quiet my heart. Mend me, O Father, from yesterday's harms. From the discords of yesterday, resurrect my peace. From the discouragements of yesterday, resurrect my hope. From the weariness of yesterday, resurrect my strength. From the doubts of yesterday, resurrect my faith. From the wounds of yesterday, resurrect my love. Let me enter this new day aware of my need and awake to your grace, O Lord. Amen. Too bad we don't have some coffee here for you, too. Do you see your daily need for God? Do you see your need for dependence on him? Do you see your Heavenly Father's care for the mundane, everyday, ordinary things in your life? He wants you to have clothes on your back, and he wants you to have patience for others. He wants you to have food on the table and love for those in your life that you don't necessarily agree with. He wants you to be wise and frugal with the money that you have, and he wants you to have strength and peace during tumultuous times. Heavenly Father, give me today what I need for today. Jesus doesn't promise you that you'll never have needs again, that you'll never need clothes, or that money will never be tight again. Jesus is saying in Matthew 6, you'll always have needs, but you do not need to be anxious today. Depend on me, Jesus says to us. When you are dependent on a Father who will give you what you need for today, when you don't have to regret the poor financial decisions that you've made in the past, when you don't have to fear the medical concerns that may be waiting for you in the future, what we begin to find is freedom. When we learn to pray, give us this day our daily bread, the chains of anxiety and fear are broken. And so we can experience the freedom of dependence. The words freedom and dependence don't go together very often, do they? As Americans, we believe in the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. But here's the truth. Our greatest freedom is actually found in dependence. Pastor Art Azardia explains it this way. Let's suppose that a kite could come to life and develop its own personality. On the one hand, it would feel the exhilaration that comes from the surges of wind that direct it through the sky. On the other hand, it would almost immediately take notice of something annoying, the tugging of the string at its center, a feeling of constraint, resistance. And soon the kite begins to think to itself, if only I could detach, then I could really fly. To the kite, you see, it seems that the string is limiting its full experience of freedom. But as any boy or girl who has ever flown a kite knows, were the string to suddenly snap, the kite would soar freely, would not soar freely for very long. It would dart to and fro for a minute, maybe two, but very soon thereafter it would end up on the ground in a pile of broken sticks and torn paper, never, ever to fly again. Rather, you see, it is the taut line between the kite and the one holding it that enables the kite to fly. A kite with no string is not free. Rather, it is bound to come crashing down. If you want to be independent from God, you are not chasing freedom. Rather, you are enslaving yourself to sin and death. I don't want us to leave here today saying, well, I must be more dependent on God. I need to grow in my dependence. Rather, my desire is for you to leave here with a self-awareness of dependence, that it's your state of being. Whether it's a material need or an immaterial need, you are dependent on God. And that is profoundly freeing. Bringing your needs to a Father who knows your needs and desires and fulfills all of those is a beautiful and freeing thing. When you are dependent on God, you are free from want and need. And that's the beautiful picture that Psalm 23 paints for us and celebrates. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In this journey, you can walk through green pastures and valleys of death and have no fears or anxieties because the Lord God, your great shepherd, is near you and with you, and he cares for your every need. The psalmist continues to blow my mind with this picture. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What freedom we find in dependence upon the Lord. He's saying to us, come here, sit, feast at the table. Every single day you can delight in the good and merciful provision I give you. While you sit and eat, all of your past regrets, all of your fears and anxious thoughts you have about the future, all of the worries you have throughout the day, all of your enemies, they stand and watch. They're despised and defeated by the personal work of Jesus Christ. We can have freedom at the Lord's table. Give us this day our daily bread is a declaration of dependence. It is God's people declaring the very counterintuitive truth that our greatest joy is found in dependence. Our greatest life is found in dependence. Our greatest freedom is found in dependence. Do you have the courage to pray this prayer? Do you have the courage to turn your back on the American idol of autonomy and declare your dependence on God? I want to close by asking you a simple question. What do you need from God today? What do you need from God? Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a compassionate heart for the needy in our city. Maybe you need to ask him for repentance to help you turn away from your sin. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in God, and faith seems like an impossible thing to do. Maybe you need faith today. God, help me put my faith in you and depend on you wholeheartedly. Whether it's big or small, material or immaterial, I want to give you a moment in the silence of the room to pray and ask God for whatever that is, whatever you need today. So take a few moments and do that. Heavenly Father, we sang earlier, great is thy faithfulness. All that I needed, you have provided. I pray that that truth rings true. Maybe in our hearts for the very first time, maybe it's a deeper reality, a deeper awareness of our dependence on you. Whatever we bring before you today, we trust, Lord, that you know our needs and you know how you're going to provide for us. You provide the animals in your creation and nature itself with beauty. Lord, we trust that you are going to provide for us even more so. Help us to be dependent on you for all of our needs. Help us to find, to be dependent on your word and in your spirit for comfort and peace. And ultimately, Lord, help us be dependent on Jesus Christ for salvation. It is in you alone that all of our needs and desires are satisfied. And so as we turn our hearts now to the Lord's table, help us to experience Jesus in the bread and the wine. Satisfy our deepest hungers and desires and needs today. Pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.